And now it's time for Friday morning scatter shooting with your old pal Junior Miller right here on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket.
Is that a new one?
Jerry? Same one.
Okay.
Same one.
It's brought to us by Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers and by BioT Testosterone Pellet Therapy. Scatter shooting while wondering whatever happened to Ted Marchabroda. The first ever head coach of the Baltimore Ravens.
Still with us?
He is still with us.
Okay.
I can confirm that. I just don't know what he's doing.
All right.
He also coached the Colts back in the day, back when we were kids.
Yeah.
In the 70s.
Funny name.
Yeah. The Ticket team is heading to New Orleans next week. We'll get to go to the Super Bowl thanks to press passes from the NFL, but if we had to pay, we'd be out a lot of money. The cheapest seat in the house right now on StubHub, nosebleed corner, is going for $2,100. And for you high rollers, you can get a suite at the Superdome for $323,000.
Oh my gosh.
Good Lord.
Who would pay that for 6-7 hours worth of fun?
What's the face value up to now? Like, if you were lucky enough to win the lottery and buy them through the NFL?
900, I think, or maybe 1,000?
I think it's over 1,000, isn't it?
And, you know, they've added more suites to that stadium.
Have they?
The press box that used to be in the middle of that stadium is now at the very tippy top.
Hmm. They put a radio down at the goal line?
No, it's not too bad. It's really big what they built up there, but I've been there twice since they did it, and good God, is it high.
Hmm. Anxious to see where our press seats are. You know, the past few Super Bowls, they've actually improved. We used to be last row, corner, upper deck, as far away as you can get. But the last couple times, we've been in decent positions.
The only one I've been to was the one here at the Death Star, and we were in the corner of the 300 level,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, like halfway up.
Yeah, they were really good seats.
I'm not complaining because it's free for the press, so even if it's last row, corner, I'm happy to be in the house. For some reason, Colts owner Jim Irsay tweeted that he had given that he would give $8,500 to the first person to correctly predict the final score of the Patriots-Ravens game with a one-point cushion. So there was no downside, no reason not to take a stab at it. A Colts fan named Jason got the score right, and after the game, he got a direct message on Twitter from Irsay requesting his address. A day later, a FedEx package arrives with 85 $100 bills in it. Irsay paid off the bet.
Jeez. Wow.
$8,500 just for getting the score right. And it wasn't the Colts game.
So he's running a gambling service on NFL games now.
Okay. The latest athlete to announce a comeback is former number one overall pick in the NFL draft, Jamarcus Russell. He is seen as the biggest bust in draft history. He says he's been on the couch watching football, and his weight has ballooned to 320.
Sounds like he's ready.
But now he says everyone calling him a bust has motivated him to prove people wrong, saying he's committed to football now.
Jeez.
And so he's going to attempt a comeback. He is still just 27 years old.
He's so committed that he's 320, huh?
He started to shed the weight, though, already, Rich.
Oh.
I think he's down to 319.
Meta fast.
It'll work.
Mark Cuban says he's only made money on the Mavericks in two of the last 13 seasons. But that hasn't hurt the overall value of the franchise. Forbes magazine lists the Mavs as the fifth most valuable team in the NBA, worth $685 million, and ranking behind only the Knicks and Lakers, each worth about $1 billion, the Bulls at $800 million, and the Celtics at $750.
How much did he pay for that team?
$2-something, I believe. 210, something like that? 180?
He overpaid. I thought it was like 185. He overpaid just because he wanted him so bad, I think.
Yeah, maybe
I'm
around
a real
180.
Idiot.
Didn't Jerry also buy the Cowboys for that same figure? Wasn't it about 180?
Or 120, maybe.
And you all know that.
It's a good deal. Yesterday, we had Tiny Sturgis in studio. He's 7'8", the tallest basketball player in the world, playing for the Globetrotters. He's not the tallest man in the world, though. That title currently belongs to Ukrainian Leonid Stadnik.
Good to be with you.
Who stands 8 feet 5 inches tall.
God.
Good Lord.
He is 42 years old, but he's not the tallest person ever. That title still belongs to the guy that we all read about in the Guinness Book of World Records, Robert Wadlow, who stood 8 feet 11 inches. He died in 1940 at the age of 22. He had a problem with his pituitary gland, and they say he was still growing at the time of his death. When Wadlow was 8 years old, he was 6'2".
Eight.
If you're his parents, and his parents were normal size, they were 5'11 and 5'4, wouldn't that creep you out to have an 8-year-old who is 6'2"?
Yeah, mine's like 4'2".
Right.
Yeah, how do you discipline that 8-year-old when he can kick your ass?
When he was 12, he was 7 feet tall.
Mm. Yeah.
As an adult, he wore leg braces, and one of them caused a blister, which became infected, and that's how he died.
Oh.
And now you know the rest of the story.
He could dunk.
Depressing.
Yeah, he was 8'11", 465 pounds. That's, at the very least, a space eater for some NBA team, right, at center? It's going to clog up the lane.
And back in those days, they didn't have the goaltending rules, so, I mean, he could have just stood in front of the basket.
Right. My greatest fear is that I'll be declared dead, but that I won't really be dead. In Brazil last week, everyone was gathered at a funeral for a 2-year-old boy who had been declared dead 2 days earlier. During the open casket service, the little boy suddenly sat up in the coffin and said, "Daddy, can I have some water?"
Oh my gosh.
Mark.
Everyone started screaming, but then he laid back down and could not be brought back to life. The moral of this story, make sure they are positive that you're dead before they bury you.
Yes, and I will. I will make sure I put a bullet in your head.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
If we suspect you're dead, I'll go ahead and fire a round into you.
I'm begging you to shoot me to make sure I'm dead if they say I'm dead so that I don't wake up in the coffin.
Right. You don't want medical attention.
No.
You just want a bullet.
Right. If they, well, if they're feeling my wrist and they think that they've lost my pulse, then go ahead and blow me away.
It's going to be really hard to explain to everybody in the hospital room.
Craig Miller.
I mean, okay. You'll have to play him this show today to get out of legal trouble.
And do they arrest me?
Probably.
What's the charge?
Mutilating a corpse?
Yeah.
Hmm. Is it really mutilation?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I was just asking, George.
Okay.
You have to be so defensive.
Police in Guntersville, Alabama, suspected that Tara Hampton had resumed dealing drugs in violation of a first offenders program that had kept her out of jail, and they knocked on her door to ask about some evidence they had come across. According to the police report, when Hampton opened the door for them, she was absentmindedly holding a bag of crack in her hand.
Oh, no.
And in Rome, Georgia, 27-year-old William Cook was arrested after a manager at a Wendy's complained that Cook was acting strangely and disturbing customers. When police asked for his ID, he provided bogus and suspicious information, so they searched him, and officers found a note in his pocket reading, "Robbing the Wendy's," followed by "Plan A and Plan B." And finally, a dedicated Teamsters Union worker was attending a convention in Las Vegas and decided to check out the local brothels. When he got to the first one, he asked the madam, "Is this a union house?" "No," she replied, "I'm sorry, it isn't." "Well, if I pay $100, what cut do the girls get?" "The house gets $80 and the girls get $20," she answered. Offended at such unfair dealings, the union man stomped off down the street in search of a more equitable brothel. His search continued until finally he reached a brothel where the madam responded, "Why, yes, sir, this is a union house. We observe all union rules." The man asked, "All right, if I pay $100, what cut do the girls get?" "The girls get $80 and the house gets $20," she said. "That's more like it," said the union man. He handed the madam $100, looked around the room, and pointed at a stunningly attractive green-eyed blonde and said, "I'd like her." The madam said, "I'm sure you would, sir." Then she gestured to a 92-year-old woman in the corner and said, "But Ethel here has 67 years seniority, and according to union rules, she's next." That's Friday Morning Scatter Shooting, where we are proud to announce Season 1 of Friday Morning Scatter Shooting, now available on DVD through Netflix.
Thanks for hanging out with your old pal, Junior Miller, for another edition of Friday Morning Scatter Shooting.
I hate it when Netflix streaming isn't
Friday,
available.
Right here on Sports Radio on 1310. The Ticket.